listening to Kingston's only campus community radio station, broadcasting 24/7, 365 on 101.9 FM and CFRC.ca. Tune in for the best local programming.
Good evening. It is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's News Collective, Christina Laurie, Jesse Bell, Henry Walker, and Ellie MacArthur. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. We have a few updates directly from the City of Kingston. Kingston Transit is rolling out several service changes in the new year aimed at improving consistency and reliability across the system. Starting Monday, January 5th, passengers will see refined schedules building on the adjustments made earlier this fall. The city says these updates will help maintain service coverage throughout Kingston and restore more frequent trips on select express routes during peak hours. Highlights include Express 501-502 running every 12 minutes during weekday peaks and every 15 minutes midday, Express 701-702 returning to 15-minute peak service, most core routes including 1, 2, 11, 13, 14, and 3132 will stay at their current levels. Construction detours on routes 2, 6, 22, and 3132 will continue into 2026. Routes 11 and 15 will once again serve the Gardner Center, and weekday routes 16A, 16B will be discontinued after December 19th and merged into a single Route 16. Riders can preview updated maps and schedules now at kingstontransit.ca or plan trips using the Transit app. In more transit news, with the holidays approaching, Kingston Transit will shift to a modified schedule from December 22nd to January 4th. Weekdays will follow a Saturday schedule, and weekends will run on the usual Sunday schedule. A few key dates to note, December 25th and January 1st, there will be no service. On December 31st, free transit all day with late-night service on Route N1 until 3 a.m. Customer service office hours will vary, including closures on December 24th, 25th, 26th, and January 1st. Riders are encouraged to check the transit app for real-time information and trip planning throughout the holiday period. The City of Kingston says the recycling convenience drop-off depot at the Kingston Area Recycling Center will close at the end of this year. The depot located on Lappin's Lane will cease operations on January 1st due to a lack of sustainable long-term funding from Circular Materials Ontario, the provincial organization that took over Kingston's blue and gray bin programs this summer. The last day to use the drop-off depot will be on Wednesday, December 31st, from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. The city notes that all residential properties in Kingston either receive or are eligible for curbside recycling collection, which is now the primary method supported under provincial regulations. For more information about recycling programs, you can visit the city's website. The City of Kingston is exploring the creation of a municipal service corporation to manage water and wastewater services as the city prepares for significant growth. Municipal service corporations, or MSCs, are corporations established by municipalities to oversee specific services or assets. They remain fully owned by the municipality and continue to operate with public oversight. City CAO Lainey Hurdle says Kingston's growing population and aging water infrastructure are placing increasing financial pressure on the municipality. An MSC could offer more flexibility, increased revenue opportunities, and dedicated governance for water and wastewater operations. A similar model already exists for Kingston Hydro, which is owned 100% by the city. Residents are invited to read the business case and share feedback through a survey on Get Involved Kingston until January 9th, 2026. A report including public feedback will go to City Council early next year. The City of Kingston has released its 2025-26 Winter Services Response Plan, outlining supports available for people experiencing homelessness during the winter months. The plan includes information on emergency beds and overnight services, weekday and weekend daytime drop-in sites, warming centers, and street outreach and prevention diversion services. The city says the plan is designed to adapt as service needs change and as different sites adjust their status or capacity over the season. Several locations are scheduled to expand capacity later this winter. The Winter Services Response Plan will continue to be updated throughout the season. Details can be found on the city's website under Homelessness Services. Once again, those were a few messages directly from the City of Kingston. The city's Toys for Tickets campaign this year saw 249 toys for a total of over $6,000 in toy value donated to Salvation Army's Toy Mountain campaign in lieu of parking tickets between November 1st and December 3rd. The total represents nearly double last year's donations, bringing the total number of toys donated since it started in 2005 to well over 4,000. Laura St. Pierre with the city's Bylaw Enforcement Services sat down with CFRC to chat about this year's campaign. For listeners who might not know, I was wondering if you could give us a bit of an overview of what the Toys for Tickets campaign is.
Sure. So the Toys for Tickets campaign provides an opportunity for individuals who pay parking tickets in the month of November to pay for their parking ticket with a toy instead.
Awesome. And this year saw 249 toys donated, almost double last year's total. What was your team's reaction when this final tally came in?
So I think about halfway through the month, we received an update from the payment center that we were already past our previous year of 2024 and shared that with all our staff. And we were extremely excited to hear this information and sort of excited to see how many received in total.
Awesome. And do you think there's any particular reason why it was so high this year?
Yeah. So we moved to an open collection sort of model this year. Some previous years, we had only specific collection dates. So this year from November 1st to December 3rd, those who received tickets were able to attend City Hall and they were able to pay for their parking ticket with a toy. And this made participation easier and a lot more flexible.
And what did it mean for you and your team to see the community participate in this way?
Yeah, so I think it means a lot for our team, and especially how we're able to partner with the Salvation Army. And we're just able to see how much the community is able to come together and to see this increase in toys during our collection this year is something we really appreciated.
St. Pierre also says Kingstonians came through in a crucial time, with Salvation Army reporting increased need this year.
So when we dropped off the toys to Salvation Army, they did mention that they were receiving an increase this year and with individuals in need for wanting to receive sort of toys to be able to pass along to children to open up during the holiday season. So that volume has increased, so they were appreciative of us bringing in sort of the toys from the ticket campaign this year, and that's something that they share. And in general, we also received information from the payment center that people were voluntarily bringing in toys as well. So individuals they even received tickets were bringing in toys this year, which we thought was very neat, something we appreciated too.
Once again, that was Laura St. Pierre with the city's Bylaw Enforcement Services on this year's Toys for Tickets campaign, making the holidays a little brighter for families in Kingston. For CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative, this has been Christina Laurie.
Thank you, Chris. This is Henry bringing you your Queens Campus News here on CFRC's Campus Beat. As exam season gets underway, Queens services have shifted into winter term support mode. Academic advising offices have expanded, drop-in hours, and many departments are running extra review sessions and peer-assisted study groups. The Writing Center has increased appointment slots and launched short workshops on revision strategies, citation cleanup, and time management planning. On the wellness side, Student Wellness Services is offering quick access counseling options, brief mindfulness sessions, and extended hours for students managing increased stress. Peer support groups through the AMS and faculty societies have also seen higher turnout, especially among first-year students navigating their first December at Queen's. Meanwhile, campus spaces like Stauffer Library, the Arc, and Mitchell Hall are operating with extended hours to accommodate late-night studying. Queen's Security has also encouraged students to use the Buddy system and the campus safety app during the darker winter evenings. It's time for pressure, but also community, with students helping each other wrap up the semester before everyone heads into the holiday break. For those students still in Kingston, whether that you're on campus, off campus, or just like to wander around downtown, Downtown Kingston is beginning its slate of December programming, from small business pop-ups to the early holiday market at Springer Market Square. Many Queen students take part as vendors, musicians, and volunteers, contributing to the seasonal atmosphere. City organizers say participation from the student population helps support local businesses during one of the busiest times of year, and strengthens the relationship between the university and the surrounding community. So with that said, any Queen students still in town, make sure you pop by downtown to engage in some of the holiday events. Queen's researchers at the Robora Lab, part of the Ingenuity Labs Research Institute, are breaking new ground with autonomous drone built to operate in extreme northern conditions. Their work, developed over the past several years, focuses on designing unmanned aerial vehicles, UAVs, capable of surviving harsh Arctic conditions, including unpredictable weather, limited GPS reliability, and long-range missions. The project aims to create drones that can land on floating charging platforms at sea, allowing long-duration surveillance, environmental monitoring, and search and rescue operations in remote regions. The underlying research addresses real-world challenges of navigation, energy efficiency, and reliable autonomous control, pushing forward both national-scale applications and academic innovation at Queen's. For Queen's students and the Kingston community, this work highlights how campus labs are contributing to projects with impacts across Canada, sometimes literally from Kingston to the Arctic. It shows that Queen's isn't just focused on classroom learning, but it's actively contributing to cutting-edge research with national relevance. For students interested in engineering, robotics, environmental science, or security studies, this kind of project offers a glimpse of the type of real-world, high-stakes work happening right now on campus. I've been Henry with your Queen's Campus News here on CFRC 101.9's Queen's Campus Beat. Thank you for listening.
This is your Environment Canada weather report for the week. Monday, December 15th, daytime high of -3, feeling closer to -10. Going to be another chilly one here in the city of Kingston. And there is snow in the forecast, but only about a centimeter or so. Tuesday, December 16th, we are going to see conditions start to warm up here in the city of Kingston. High of 0, low of -2. No snow or rain in the forecast. It's going to be a cloudy day here in the city of Kingston. Wednesday, December 17th, daytime high of 4 degrees. With sun and cloud throughout the day, overnight low of -4. Thursday, December 18th, we're going to see a daytime high of 6 degrees with a 70% chance of precipitation in the forecast. Largely, that's going to be rain, but as things get cooler in the evening, it could see a bit of freezing rain in the forecast as well. Friday, December 19th, daytime high of 2 degrees with sun in the forecast. Saturday, December 20th, daytime high of 1, overnight low of -3, feeling closer to -8. Sunday, December 21st, daytime high of -1, but it's going to feel closer to -5, so bear that in mind. And then at the start of next week, Monday, December 22nd, high of 0, low of -6, but it will actually feel a little above freezing, around 2 degrees or so during the day. This is your City of Kingston traffic report for the week. Reminder that winter parking restrictions are in place as of December 1st. During December and March, overnight street parking will be banned only if the weather conditions require it. During January and February, overnight on-street parking is not permitted no matter the weather conditions. With construction season winding down, there are fewer road closures than you would typically expect. Here are three relevant road closures in the Kingston area. Aberdeen Street, William 2 Johnson is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging. Albert Street, Princess 2 Mac is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging at 484 Albert Street. And Berry Street, Queen 2 Colborne is closed for construction-related activity at 283 Queen Street. Here are some other delays to be aware of. Bayridge Drive, Milford to Henderson, expect delays for the construction of new active transportation infrastructure and intersection upgrades. Catwoods Drive, Centennial to Gardeners, expect delays for the construction of a new multi-use pathway. Front Road, Sand Bay to Country Club, expect delays for the installation of sanitary and water main for Utilities Kingston. Traffic will be reduced to one lane in each direction. Please be aware of lane shifts, traffic speed limits, and share the lane signage. Victoria Street and Earl Street, expect delays while a contractor mobilizes the site to start work on the second phase of reconstruction of sewer, water main, sidewalks, and road.
Hey, how's it going? My name is Ellie MacArthur, and you're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM. I'm an intern from the Queen's Department of History, and I'm back with your concerts calendar for December 15th through 21st. We're officially in peak holiday season. The city is full of cozy gatherings, trivia nights, karaoke, and more, so let's jump right in. Kick off your Monday with some smooth jazz. It's Jazz Monday featuring the Dave Barton Trio at the RCHA starting at 4:30 p.m. As well, we have live jazz at Musiki beginning at 8 p.m., a perfect low-key, intimate listening experience. As well on Monday, it's Kentucky at the Cove Inn starting at 5 p.m. And finally, if you're feeling festive, the Bar McNeils bring their beloved Celtic Christmas show to the Kingston Grand Theater starting at 7:30 p.m. Moving into Tuesday, the RCHA hosts Tom's Tuesday Afternoon Happy Hour Jam from 4 to 7 p.m. And at 5 p.m., Nolan Hubbard plays the Cove Inn, followed by Open Mic with Carrick McAllister at Jersey Sports Bar starting at 7 p.m. Wednesday, December 17th is jam-packed, but a midweek highlight includes Oscar Evans and the Morning Doves at the Royal Theater, Thousand Islands, starting at 7:30 p.m. This is their Gotta Start Somewhere EP release show. Tickets are $20 and can be purchased through Oscar Mayfield Evans on Instagram through the link in his bio. Also on Wednesday, Gerald McGrath at the Bank Gastro Bar starting at 5:30 p.m. Kingston favorite Christopher Jackson is at the Creekside Bar starting at 6 p.m. And if you're looking to hop on that ferry, Open Mic at Hotel Wolf Island starts at 7:30 p.m. Moving into Thursday, there is a variety of shows across the city, starting with Jack DeKaiser's sit-down series performance at Tiernan Og starting at 6:30. This features legendary blues in an intimate setting. And at the RCHA, Jam Night with Michael George begins at 7 p.m. And if you couldn't catch him on Wednesday, Christopher Jackson is back at the Cove Inn from 5 to 8 p.m. for original Thursdays. Finally, on Thursday, a triple bill at Hotel Wolf Island starting at 7:45 is Hugh Christopher Brown, Joey Wright, and Jason Mercer. On Friday, the best way to ease into the weekend is the Happy Hour TGIF at the RCHA starting at 4 p.m. As well, on Friday, rock fans can check out the Broom Factory starting at 7 p.m. for Slaves of Spanky, Rocket Surgery, and Height Quiche. It's high energy at one of Kingston's best venues. If you've got the Christmas spirit, yet another Celtic Christmas is at the RCHA from 8 to 11 p.m. and at the Cove Inn at 8 p.m. The Grunge Stole Christmas with Generator Party puts an alternative spin on holiday classics. The Good Lovelies play the Isabel Bader Center starting at 8 p.m. We've got Neil Carter at Tiernan Og starting at 9 p.m. If you missed it on the 17th, no need to worry. Oscar Evans and the Morning Doves take over Musiki for both an early show from 7 to 9 and a late show from 9 to 11 p.m. This is for the Gotta Start Somewhere EP release. Once again, tickets can be purchased using the link in Oscar Evans' Instagram at Oscar Mayfield Evans. It's a packed Saturday, starting with Dead Roots Revival Christmas Rock's Position hits the RCHA starting at 8 p.m. This blends blues, rock, and holiday cheer, sounding like an overall great time. Country fans should check out Crooked Wood at the Cove Inn starting at 6 p.m., while Los Desperados and Lucas Oak play the Royal Theater, Thousand Islands, at 7 p.m. Big names coming through the city with Jan Arden's Christmas Tour at Kingston Grand Theater. There will be two performances at 3 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. with heartful storytelling and seasonal favorites. On Friday and Saturday at 7:30 p.m., as well on Sunday at 2:30 p.m., catch Cannibal Choir's Holiday Magic at The Spire. Finally, on Sunday, catch 80s Enough, The Empties, and Kyra at Stages Nightclub starting at 9 p.m. for Food for Friends Rock Show for the benefit of partners in Mission Food Bank. Thanks so much for joining me this week. As always, if you have a concert that you'd like to add to our online or on-air concerts calendar, reach out today via cfrc.ca or using the link in our bio at CFRC Music on Instagram. Hey, how's it going? My name is Ellie MacArthur, an intern from the Queen's Department of History, and you're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM. It's the events calendar for December 15th through 21st. From trivia, markets, theater, and holiday traditions, there's plenty happening around Kingston, so let's jump right in. Warm up your brain for the week on Monday with trivia at Brass Pub starting at 7:45 p.m. or head to Something in the Water Brewing for trivia at 8 p.m. Moving into Tuesday, December 16th, the Kingston Public Market runs from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Springer Market Square, featuring local vendors and seasonal goods. The market also runs on Thursday and Saturday, again from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. So if you're in the mood to do some holiday shopping, maybe grab a sweet treat, you have plenty of opportunities. At 1 p.m., check out Indigenous Drumming at Trellis HIV in Community Care. Everyone is welcome. And in the evening, the Community Song Circle at the Kingston Community House runs from 6 to 8 p.m. As well, we've got Euchre at Daft Brewing starting at 7 p.m. And if you just couldn't get enough of trivia on Monday, it's Jack's Tuesday Night Trivia starting at 7 p.m. On Wednesday, it is a must to check out Roswell Rehearsal's new space from 1 to 3 p.m. with Hang and Jam with John Torres. Also on Wednesday at 7, it's trivia at Daft Brewing. At 7:30, trivia at Wild Wing, and of course, the trifecta of karaoke's. Karaoke at Jersey Sports Bar starting at 7 p.m., karaoke at Timeout Bar, 8 p.m., and karaoke at The Mansion at 9 p.m. If there's a trifecta of karaoke, there must also be a trifecta of trivia. On Thursday, it's taking over the city with Riverhead Trivia at 7 p.m., the Grad Club at 8 p.m., and of course, Queen's Pub at 9 p.m. Also at 9 p.m. on Thursday, you can never get enough karaoke at Tiernan Og. A fun standout event on Friday, December 19th is Bitchin' Drag Bingo at Carlo Estates Winery starting at 6 p.m. Drag queen Rowena Way is sure to have an outstanding performance. On Saturday, December 20th at 1 p.m., it's Vibrant Voices Song Circle for the two SLGBTQIA+ community and allies taking place at Kingston Frontenac Public Library, Central Branch. This is a welcoming, inclusive space and a great way to connect with people through music. And if you're ready to sing it out yourself, it's karaoke at Timeout Bar starting at 9 p.m. on Saturday. On Sunday, catch the Christmas classic and Kingston holiday favorite, A Christmas Carol with John D. Huston as Charles Dickens. This takes place at the Tet Center, and there's three performances starting at 1 p.m., 4 p.m., and 7 p.m. Perfect for all ages and a perfect way to get into the holiday spirit. The best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear. So on Sunday, head to karaoke night at the Merchant starting at 8 p.m. or, as always, karaoke at the Toucan starting at 10:30 p.m. and spread that cheer. Once again, thank you so much for joining me for this week's events calendar. If you have an event that you'd like to add to our online or on-air events calendar, please reach out today via cfrc.ca or using the link tree in our bio on our Instagram at cfrcmusic.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear. Coming up now on this week's Release Radar, in partnership with the Kingston Music Office, we're pleased to present Bad Dawn, a new single by local act Lake Porter. The new song is about facing the impossible and surviving it with the people who never leave your side. It's a story of loyalty and defiance, staring down darkness and choosing love anyway. As faithful as the sun to a new dawn, it's a reminder that no matter how bad it gets, we rise together. Want to be highlighted next time? Complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visit kingston.music on Instagram. In the meantime, stream Bad Dawn by Lake Porter on your favorite platforms and enjoy it here with us now on CFRC 101.9 FM.
All night, it gets a little brighter. All day, it gets a little dark. I don't want to drink every day, it just feels the same. I pour my last shot right down the drain, and maybe I'll find my sanity. And oh yeah, it's right in front of me. And this time I had it all wrong, but the good day's gone and the bad day's dawn on me.
I'm way too comfortable living a lie. Swore to myself a thousand times, but who's keeping score?
On me, good days gone, but the bad.
the good days gone and the bad days done on me. On me. On me. The good days gone but the bad days done on me. But the bad days dawn on me.
Hello and welcome to Salt Licht in Rapture. I'm your host, Nishan Tung. Salt Licht in Rapture is a sonic exploration of, to quote Virginia Woolf, violent waves of emotion. Featuring both known and lesser known musicians and poets, a special emphasis is placed on oddball, enigmatic, outsider artists whose work invokes dreamscapes and feelings of alienation, nostalgia, melancholy, existential unease, and yearning. Join me on Fridays at 8 p.m. on CFRC 101.9 FM.
Welcome to Word Labs Out Loud, your weekly writing spark on CFRC 101.9 FM. On today's show, I wanted to explore the idea of incorporating the five senses into your writing. This piggybacks off of some of the other descriptive writing that we've been doing, exploring character and sense of place. So this is further avenues through which you can bring your reader deeper into the world of your story. So the five senses that we'll talk about today are taste, touch, sight, smell, and sound. And these are things that can help your reader to experience rather than simply observe your story. And that's the golden rule of show, don't tell. It's one of the foundational principles of strong writing. You don't want to spell out every action, emotion, and event. That gets dry, that gets boring, and it keeps the experience for the reader pretty surface level, where employing good descriptions and good sensory language lets the reader feel like they're experiencing the story for themselves. And you do this with clear, vivid details and actions. Using the senses can also help you enhance your character development. So obvious things would be describing the physical appearance of your character, but think about other things that might reveal, you know, secrets or quirks about your character. Do they wear cologne? Do they have body odor? Is their clothing rough and rumpled? Is it expensive? Those kinds of things. It can also be used to reveal things like their emotional state without explicitly naming it, using descriptions like sweaty palms and a pounding heart and uneven, ragged breaths tells you that your character is probably frightened or anxious without saying John is scared. And it helps with the nuance of what they're experiencing, because fear for one person and fear for another person might look different. It might be experienced with different intensity. And so that's where those sensory descriptions can come into play. Using the five senses also helps you create immersive settings. Detail creates tangibility, and the more tangible elements that you have brought into your story, the more believable the setting becomes. You want the reader to feel as though they've truly experienced the place that you are setting your story in. So let's get into some more detail, starting with what might be a less obvious sense for writing, which is taste. Taste imagery encompasses flavors, but it's also textures and the physical sensations of eating. You want to try to use written descriptions that allow the reader to savor the experience. So this is going beyond sweet, salty, bitter, sour, or umami, and exploring the emotions or memories that those tastes can evoke as well. Metaphor, we'll be talking about this a fair bit today, so metaphor and simile can be a helpful way of doing this. The warm broth coated her sore throat like smooth silk. The hot pepper lit up his tongue like a firecracker. You can also use taste in fun ways to, for example, describe emotions. A bittersweet parting. She got a spicy photo. She looked delicious in that dress. So get creative with what you think about when you're thinking about taste and how you can incorporate that into your story. Food blogs, cookbooks, and recipe websites are really easy and accessible resources that can help you explore how taste can be described in lively and enticing ways. Here's a quick example of how you can elevate your description. So she ate a piece of shortbread. Okay, we may or may not have eaten shortbread in our life. We may have an opinion on it, but it's not telling you very much about the character's experience with the shortbread. So here's one with sensory words. She bit into the shortbread, buttery crumbs falling over her lips, the bite melting with a soft sweetness on her tongue. So I would guess from that description that she probably enjoyed that. And you can take that further too by incorporating other elements. Does the shortbread remind her of her grandmother's recipe? Where is she sitting when she's enjoying this? Is she in a position where she can truly savor it, or is she wolfing it down before she runs out to a meeting? Closely linked with taste is smell, and you'll often find that there's crossover even in descriptions, like fruity, stale, rancid can be used for both. Smell can be hard to describe, and there's some interesting science behind that if you want to get a little nerdy. Our brains are obviously good at recognizing and remembering specific smells. It can be one of the strongest triggers, and people have used it, using exam season as an example, always studying while wearing a certain cologne and then wearing that cologne when you go to the exam so that there's a memory that's triggered by that scent. It can work for people. But the region of our brain that processes smell is more closely connected actually with emotion and memory than it is with language. So even when we're like, oh, this scent is reminding me of my childhood home or this dish that I had on my trip, finding the right words to describe it can feel surprisingly hard. Using memory in your description and using metaphor and simile can help you out here. Think of a brand of shampoo reminding you of an ex-love, or the scent of mothballs reminding you of your grandparents' closet. If you want to get into descriptions that evoke emotions, you can say something like the stack of freshly printed money smelt like freedom, where for another character, that freshly printed money might smell like corruption, and that gives you an insight into the character. The hospital room smelled like sickness doused with bleach. It gives a little bit of insight into not only the literal reality of the situation, but how other characters respond on an emotional and a physical level. Just like cookbooks and blogs can be helpful for describing food, wine and perfume descriptions are good ways to get some creative ideas for expanding your scent vocabulary. And when you begin to describe a scene, close your eyes and imagine all of the possible smells that surround you. Remember that smells can describe a lot. Food, weather has certain scents. Think of a rainstorm coming in or freshly fallen snow, grass on a hot summer day. It also can evoke obviously locations and even emotional states. So be curious. What are you experiencing in that space? Perfumes, body odor, fresh or stale air. Try to go beyond bad or good in your descriptions and think about what each scent represents and why it exists for you in that scene. Moving on to touch. Tactile imagery like texture, temperature, pressure, and pain adds another dimension to your writing. So many dimensions we're talking about today. And while certain touches or sensations like, you know, a kiss, a punch, stubbing your toe might be obvious elements to incorporate into your story, don't overlook subtle experiences. Consider things like the feeling of different fabrics on skin, how loose or tight clothing might feel, walking into a hot or cold environment, and even internal sensations like feeling nervous or having cramps. Touch is not only the active things that your character reaches out to feel, but also passive experiences like gusts of wind or dry skin. Obviously, thinking about winter right here. So don't forget to include those in your descriptions as well. Moving on to sight. Sight is probably the most dominant sense in descriptive writing. Naturally, most writers begin by establishing what can be seen by their character and by the reader, but the key lies in selecting and enhancing the details that matter. Visual cues do more than just set a scene. They can help establish the mood and theme for that scene or the story as a whole as well. For example, a blue sky sky is a simple descriptor, but dark clouds gathering on the horizon create a sense of tension that is also a cue to the reader that something might be about to happen. Something bad might be about to happen, or, oh, this is not the time to relax. So it can be fun as you start doing that to dive into tons of detail. But as we talked about more in depth when we were talking about setting the scene before, always write with a goal in mind. And that goal is advancing the plot. So as you write your visual descriptors, ask yourself, what is being seen? What are you not seeing? What does it mean? And why does it matter? I know that sounds kind of nebulous, but let's take an example. Your character is seated at a bar and sees a man walk by. Start asking yourself, what is being seen? What does this man look like? What is he wearing? How tall is he? What kind of shoes does he have on? Is he messy looking? Is he well dressed? Does he have tattoos? What color are those tattoos? What types of tattoos? What is his outward appearance telling you? How is he walking? Does he have a confident stride? Is he limping? Does he have his head held up high, or is he looking down to the ground? Is he making eye contact, or does he seem to be avoiding the crowd? So what are you seeing? What are you not seeing? If he seems secretive, what might he be hiding? Those are little clues you can add for your reader. And these questions can help you brainstorm ways to show your reader what they need to pay attention to. That what does it mean and why does it matter? And finally, we're going to talk about sound. So the sounds of a scene. Probably the most common and obvious sounds are those onomatopoeia sounds, you know, snap, pop, rumbling, clattering, humming, creaking, etc. Or loud sounds that have a lot of dramatic impact on the scene. But subtle external and internal sounds can also help set the scene. So if you think of creaking floorboards, howling wind, ominous thumps, you could probably guess that the writer is drawing you into a horror story. But on the flip side, sounds can also convey your story's location in subtle ways. Everyday noises like the hum of appliances, passing cars, a purring cat form a background to the life of your character. These elements, whether they are loud and dramatic or small and subtle, can help you create a sense of ease, overwhelm, tension, depending on what is being heard and how your character reacts. And two characters might react very differently. If someone is very easily overstimulated, then you might want to incorporate more distraction sounds into your narrative to give your reader a sense of what the life experience is for that character. Whereas another character might be able to just tune it out and be in a zen state as they go through their day. So as we said before, like all the items in your creative writing toolbox, effective sensory writing is driven by purpose. Always want to ask why a particular sensation matters. Why did you write it? What does it mean and what does it reveal? So what does it mean and what does it reveal about the character, the setting, or the story as a whole? You want to develop an immersive world for your reader. Yes, but you don't want to bog down the plot with too much detail. Clever description is gratifying, but if you're too heavy-handed with it, you're just going to lose the reader's attention and take them out of being in the story. You don't want them to be aware of your writing. So we're going to spend the last part of today's episode on a practical exercise, and this is going to be incorporating all of the five senses that we talked about today. So I want you to close your eyes and imagine yourself either at someone's home for a family dinner or at your workplace for a work potluck. Try to describe that location and that scene using all of the five senses. So some questions you can ask yourself: who is there? What are people wearing? How is the room decorated? What food is on the table? What do you smell? And this is beyond just the food. Is the room crowded? Where are you sitting? Is your chair comfortable? Are your elbows touching the person next to you? Or are you standing? Is it standing room only? What's the temperature like? What does the cutlery look like and what does it feel like in your hand? What temperature are the foods on your plate? You want to try and be as curious about the scene as you can. In this exercise, we're just gathering material. If you're doing this and applying it to a specific scene in a story that you're writing, you'll want to ask questions, but with that sense in mind of what does it mean and why does it matter. But again, for this exercise, we're just brainstorming, and you'll have about 3 minutes per sense if you want to divide it that way. Otherwise, 15 minutes total.
Dallas 49er. There's a rendezvous of strangers around a coffee in the night. All the gypsy hacks and the insomniacs. Now the paper's been read. Now the waitress said eggs and sausages and a side of toast. Coffee and a roll. Hash browns were easy. Chili. It's a graveyard charade. It's a late shift masquerade. And it's two for a quarter, dime for a dance. Woolworth rhinestone, diamond earrings, and a sideways glance. Now the register rings. Now the waitress sings. Nicotine cloud as the touch of your fingers lingers burning in my memory. I've been 86 from your ski. Now I'm in a melodramatic nocturnal scene. Now I'm a refugee from a disconcerted affair. Now the lead pipe morning falls. Join a crowd, had some time to kill. See, I just come in to join the crowd, had some time to kill. Just come in to join the crowd, cause I had some time to kill.
Sugar, inspire me, salt is pure. Dopamine, that's the time, my boy, I'm a fiend. Watch the night swing by, hold the scene, hold the flame, my boy, I'm a dream. Freude on Freude, hot like fire. Also prophet put a tune to my smile. Send it up like smoke to the sky. Drink my water till the river runs dry.
Oh,
this little exploration of the five senses has been helpful and provided you with some new ideas for writing. And as always, I look forward to seeing you on the next show.
Revelation Radio. Explore the sound shaping subculture. Tune in to 101.9 CFRC Wednesdays from 11 to noon to uncover revelations mixed into music from across the alternative scene, underground, and across the globe.
No rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Revelation Radio, Wednesdays at 11.
We're Tiny Horse, and you're listening to CFRC 101.9.